everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala. I know too much about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm a big dork about it. And with me, as always, is my co-host. She has never heard music before. It's Kristen Sutter.
What's happening?
Hey, Kristen.
That is an untruth. I love music. I hate the Rock Hall.
Okay. I guess we have differing opinions on the way you stand with music. But that's, hey, I guess everyone's going to find out through the course of this episode, which, you know, we are ramping up to the 2020 Rock Hall induction. And we are hoping to revisit the inductees because we haven't talked about them in a long time. But we are going to have to deviate from that format today. And before I talk about why, I'm going to bring in our guest for this episode. I wouldn't call him very special. I'd call him very regular because we like to have him on the show. And if you listen to the show, you know who he is. It's Joey Devine. Hey, Joey.
Hi. I'm happy to be here. I missed you guys through the pandemic. And
yeah, it's good to talk to you.
You know, the world being on fire. Mm-hmm. It's good that we always have the old reliable Who Cares About the Rock Hall to get us through our days.
And
right?
We didn't for
yeah, a
some
long time. Yeah.
we definitely put a pause on it, but now we're back. And yeah,
and
Joey is joining us this week because we have to discuss something that I will say is causing immense ripples throughout the music fan community. And it relates to something that we talk about constantly on
all
the show,
the time.
Which is that there is a new Rolling Stone 500 albums list. Did you know this, Kristen?
I am aware of this because Joey texted us to say that there was a new Rolling Stone 500 albums list.
I mean, I texted you as a joke because I was like, good news, Kristen. The Rolling Stone 500 list is all new and they put more people of color and more women on it. Bad news, this is this month's cover of Rolling Stone, the magazine, and it was the Beatles on it again.
Because of course it was. They have a rotation. It's the Beatles, it's Dylan, Jim Morrison. You throw in a Hendrix once a year.
You know, I actually think the issue with the 500 albums, the cover is Bruce.
Oh, I'm sorry. How could I have forgotten? Bruce, you got to put Bruce.
Let's remember.
In there too.
It's so funny. This list, you know, they talk about it in the lead up to the list itself and like the little blurb where they talk about the publication of the list and on the website where they have the 500 albums. That is by far the most popular, like most visited part of RollingStone.com. Like people visit.
It's not Matt Taibbi's
political column. No, if you can believe it or not, people like to go back to this list. I mean, there's a reason why I bring it up so much.
Yeah, Joe, how many of those clicks do you think are you preparing for this podcast?
I'll have you know I downloaded it as a PDF so I didn't have to go to it so often. Yes.
And also, let it be known that I have literally never looked at it ever once in my life, but I am uncannily
good.
But
it's ingrained in your brain.
But we have to, now there's a whole there's a whole new list.
I have a psychic connection to the old list, so I don't know. If they got a little bit, if they diversified, then I'm probably not going to be nearly as good.
Right, because you're good at getting in the mindset of the old hippie Rolling Stone voter.
Yeah, I think there's like a little boomer in a dead shirt just like in the base of my brain somewhere that knows knows the order.
Kristen.
Are we going to go through it from 500 to this episode?
Number 500. No, so what I want to do is generally...
Number 500 is Run the Jewels.
Number 500 is Funeral by Arcade Fire.
Mm-hmm.
What?
There you go.
Yeah, that should be higher. That's
it
a great
was
album.
Higher. It was higher in 2012. And then it dropped how many?
365 places, I think.
Jesus Christ. This was like, it probably got done the year that they won the Grammy. It was like way up in the
people
like
really high on Arcade Fire.
Or something like that.
Kristen, I want to quickly, so yes, there are 154 albums making the list this year that were not on either two iterations previously. Now, obviously, we're not going to go through all of those. It includes over 100 artists who had never been on the list before, and then also new albums that we hadn't seen before from artists who had been on. But I'm just going to give you a quick little sampling. We have Scary Monsters and Super Creeps from David Bowie. We have Modern Vampires of the City from Vampire Weekend. We have Full Moon Fever from Tom Petty. We have The Black Parade from My Chemical Romance.
From My Chemical Romance?
We have If You're Feeling Sinister by Belle and Sebastian. We have...
I'm like, what would be the Belle and Sebastian album I would put on there? Maybe it would be that one. I don't know.
Screamadelica by Primal Scream. We have...
Whoa, that's a surprise.
Midnight Marauders by A Tribe Called Quest. We have Mad Villainy by Mad Villain. Hounds of Love by Kate Bush. Now, here's the thing, Kristen. I want to just quickly run through the albums I just told you. Scary Monsters and Super Creeps. Modern Vampires of the City.
Oh, this is a Halloween. Am I being pranked right now? Am I fucking getting pranked again?
Here's the thing.
What's happening?
Kristen.
Oh, no.
It is our first episode of October. But, Kristen, all those albums are truly new on the Rolling Stone 500. I just happened to find the ones that were the spookiest.
Okay. What is that Tom Petty album?
That's from 89. That has Free Fallin' on it. That has Running Down a Dream.
What songs are on that David Bowie album? And then just in a second, where is the Monster Mash? Where is that on the list?
Number one, of course. It made it. Yeah, I was working on my way up to that. Yeah. But yes. So like Fashion and Ashes to Ashes are like probably the two big songs you know off of Scary Monsters. It's an album from 1980. So it's like pre Let's Dance, but it's post Berlin Trilogy.
How many Bowie albums are on the list?
So,
and also, really quick, I just, before you get into this,
yeah,
is this the am I being pranked at any point in this episode? Will
no
I
pranking.
Be pranked?
At no pranking. Point, at no point have I pranked you. I just, in the spirit of October, I felt like, why not revisit one of our classic moments? One of the things that you will, that like people will see with this list is that it is pretty reactionary. And I think because David Bowie died recently, he was able to maintain, you know, only Aladdin Sane dropped off from the previous two, but all the other ones stayed on, save for like a Greatest Hits that was on the first list. And Scary Monsters.
They put a Greatest Hits on the first list?
Dude, there's still Greatest Hits on there.
There's like a lot of Greatest Hits.
Wait, can you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think... the idea.
Well, I'm like, then just put the greatest hits of all the artists on there. Put like Tom Petty's greatest hits on
Tom
there.
Tom Petty's greatest hits, like, is a banger for banger album.
Yeah, exactly. No, what is it called? What's his greatest hits called?
Oh, Changes One.
Never mind. I'm thinking, I thought my parents had it, but they had Aerosmith Big Ones.
Yes, which is, I believe there's a sumo wrestler on the cover of that album. Get it? Because
maybe it is. What's the Aerosmith cover that has the udder?
It's Get a Grip. You're thinking of Get a Grip.
Yeah.
Kill me. Oh,
they're
God.
Very funny.
And now I'm thinking of Honking on Bobo because I have to.
Aerosmith. Aerosmith's Rocks is still on the list and has been on every iteration, but Toys in the Attic, out of there. You're gone, Toys in the Attic.
I mean, if you're going to give Toys in the Attic for an Aerosmith album, very good. Got all the big, the big ones on it, right?
Whoa, hey. Yeah, I mean, both of those albums I do think are good. They were like early Aerosmith. That's like if you are going to listen to Aerosmith, that is what you're going to listen to. But let me give you some of the artists that have made the list for the very first time. And there's a lot. Kendrick Lamar, Beyoncé, Kate Bush, Frank Ocean.
Mad Kid, Good City. I'm sorry, I have a couple.
All of Kendrick Lamar's albums made the list.
So
they did. So To Pimp a Butterfly is on there.
Good. Okay, Kristen.
Yes.
Try to guess where To Pimp a Butterfly is on the list. Because you're good on the former list. Let's see how you do on the new list.
I mean, I like have no way. The only thing I know is that now that Arcade Fire is at 500, that's my only.
You haven't been calibrated. Can I give her a hint, Joe? You have not been calibrated yet. So no hints yet. Okay. I want this to be
okay.
Fully blind. Because
there's one I know that's burned in my brain.
I mean, you want to try To Pimp a Butterfly, Good Kid, Mad City, and Damn. They are all on the list.
All three Kendrick Lamar albums are on the list.
Now,
but why don't you just try?
Here's the thing. I think critically, now I think that the order that they're in is, I think the highest is the lowest, like the close. I'm going to say highest meaning like lowest closest number.
Closest to the top.
But also the bottom of the numerical system is going to be To Pimp a Butterfly. And then in the middle, it'll be Good Kid, Mad City. And then Damn will be, I think.
You're correct.
And now, knowing what I know, which is that they're trying to be, like, he is a critical darling. That is a critically acclaimed album. And he's kind of like, I think Kendrick is the rapper who can straddle both having actual street cred and the respect of the Black community while also being a fucking white critic's darling.
Yeah, I think that's true.
He didn't sell out, but like white critics were like, yeah, he's the one guy. We like him.
All right.
So
give me a number.
I think he made it to the top 100? I do. This is a wild guess. 87.
To Pimp a Butterfly comes in at number 19. We gon' be all right. Nigga, we gon' be all right. Nigga, we gon' be all
right. We gon' be all right. Wow. And then like 1 through 18 is just...
Can I say my calibration number?
Yeah, please. That might help you, Kristen. Yeah.
Kristen, okay. Take Care by Drake is in the 90s.
Top 100.
Really?
Yeah. It's high. I think it's 100 albums better than The Wall, which I love. I think it's so funny because I think The Wall sucks. And I also think Drake kind of sucks, but that's so funny to me.
To Pimp a Butterfly is the highest ranking album that had not been on any prior list.
That makes sense.
Other albums in the top 20 that like jumped pretty high. Miseducation of Lauryn Hill had been at 314. It is now at number 10.
Ooh, yes, that's great. That's great. Does Missy Elliott have any albums on here?
Yes. So Supa Dupafly.
Oh, that's the first one. What else is on that?
Sakatumi.
The Rain is in Supa Dupafly.
Yeah, Supa Dupafly. Yeah. Like
right,
that song.
The title track. Supa Dupafly. Supa Dupafly. Me, I'm Supa Fly. Supa Dupafly. Where do you think it's coming in, Kristen?
Is that the only album of hers that's on there?
Yes.
That's so interesting. I guess that's like a critical darling. And that
Well, it's not as good as like Take Care by Drake. So...
I mean, this is making me ill. I can't be living in a world. Okay, well, I think that's going to be like 152.
Technically, it is two places higher than Take Care by Drake. It's at 93.
93. Okay. That's pretty good.
Let's go through some of the top, just like, because
we have a new number one, Kristen.
We do.
There's a new number one.
Can I ask, I heard you say that Beyonce is, I just want to do a little more calibration with like kind of the Black artists that we're learning about. How many Beyonce albums are on there?
Yes.
I think self-titled, I think Lemonade.
And that's it.
Okay, good. Yeah. I mean, those are great. Okay. And I think Lemonade is higher than self-titled.
Of course.
And I think Lemonade is in the top 100.
Oh yeah.
I think Lemonade is what? 25 or something like that?
32.
And then I bet the self-titled is in the early hundreds. I bet it maybe that's like 118. Or did they pop it?
You got some of the right, like the you got some of the right numbers. It's 81.
81. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, Beyonce
So 10 better
be
than Drake's Take Care.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so now this is all starting to kind of come together. It's really throwing off my system.
I know. Like,
my instincts are
shift
all over the place.
My beautiful dark twisted fantasy, which was at 353, is now at 17.
70. Oh, 17. I was like 70. 17. Is that the highest of Kanye's albums?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that his only album? Or
no,
is
all of them? All of the From College Dropout to Yeezus is on there.
So, oh, is Yeezus on there? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Like, I'm like, you stop at My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Like, Yeezus is fine.
Yeezus is good. I like, I'm not going to argue about it, but I think Yeezus is really
like
good.
It is not like, is it the top album of all time?
500? Probably.
He has top 500 albums.
It comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they all yeah. made it.
It comes no. in at, it's the lowest of his albums, and it comes in at 269. College Dropout is 74. Late Registration is 117. Graduation is 204. 808s and Heartbreak is 244. And then Yeezus is 269.
808s and Heartbreak is on there too.
Yeah. I said they all made it from College Dropout to Yeezus. Yeah.
That's a, I mean, that's a lot of albums. They are really, they're giving him his flowers while he's alive, you know?
Yes, they are. Another album that has gone up, it went up considerably from 2003 to 2012, which was Kid A by Radiohead, went from 428 to 67. Now it's sitting at 20.
How many Radiohead albums are on there?
So we've got Kid A at 20, OK Computer at 42, which also jumped. The Bends at 276. We've got In Rainbows at 387. And then Amnesiac off the list. Get out of here, Amnesiac.
Where's Hail to the Thief?
Where's King of Limbs?
Oh, what honestly, about a moon-shaped pool?
I have a real... Hail to the Thief came out at an important time in my life, so I'm like, that's an album everybody was into, right? And it's like, no, just you.
Nope, that's just it's circumstance.
That's actually the album I got out on Radiohead. I was like, I think I'm done here.
Enough. Another jump, we've got Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers goes from 387 to 27.
Whoa, enter the top 20. I enter the top 30.
There you go.
You know,
almost got it on the first try. Here, relevant Rock Hall, Ready to Die from Biggie jumped from 134 to 22.
They really, they're making big moves in the top 100.
Yeah. And
like, again, there's a new number one album.
There's a new number one.
I mean, I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to – I'll guess in a second, and I'll be wrong. But they are really shaking it up in the big dogs, you know? This is
absolutely. A lot. I mean, we've got D'Angelo's Voodoo going from 481 to 28.
28? You're new to – I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, no shade D'Angelo, but, like, what? No, it's a great album, and like, but
D'Angelo's got three albums like, on the list.
What?
Yeah, so we've got, you know, Voodoo is from 2000, and that's sitting at 28. We've got Brown Sugar, which is his album from 95, which is at 183. And then we've got, actually, it's D'Angelo and the Vanguard with Black Messiah from 2014 at 395.
Which is the album that has the How Does It Feel on it? Okay.
That's Voodoo.
That's also that's the music video where he's like naked, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. He's got some tonage like on his hips that I've never seen before.
His abs have abs.
Yeah.
It's also co-starring a very adventurous trickle of sweat.
Yeah,
really that was his co-star. Wait, I just say really quick though, that album should not be in the top 30.
I'll actually defend this.
Go ahead, Joey.
So this is the first one they actually had like musicians vote on, and the musicians had to pick their top 50. And D'Angelo has become like musicians fucking love D'Angelo because he's like a crazy guy who will go years without releasing albums, but then also play all his instruments and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of musical respect for D'Angelo. And yeah, well, Joey brings up a good point, which is just the fact that this was not a change of the list by like the editorial board at Rolling Stone.
Jan Wenner only got a ballot, probably.
Right. This is a complete overhaul by having new people and certainly some people who voted the first time, just completely everyone vote again. Like vote over fucking John Darnielle. You wanna tell us your top 50, you know, journalists, whoever, Beyonce, apparently, Robert Smith. These are all people who allegedly turned in top 50 albums. And so that is really what comprises it, which is why it seems like there are a lot of changes, when in fact, this is really just like a brand
new list. It's a new list. Yeah.
It's a new list. Mm-hmm. Can we do that with the Hall?
Hilariously, though, the number two album stayed the same. On all three versions of the list, the number two album has been the same.
And that is Pet Sounds.
Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys, which is the best album of all time. Number one on Joey's list.
Joey didn't get a ballot, though.
Yeah, so they didn't get a ballot. Sorry.
No. I want a ballot. Jan Wenner.
You know, Kristen, you had a you had a thing for Ad Rock, right? He was your guy. Yeah. So Ad Rock had a ballot, and they released Ad Rock's individual ballot, and I want to read some of his picks, if I may. Maccabee, Sign of the Times, Grits and Gravy, Nothing But the Good Stuff, The Frank Figueroa Funk Ensemble, Double Bang Bang, Chirp, The City Ain't Tough Enough, Sergeant Crikey, It Mech Dem Bubble, Hugo Strasser, Tans Hits, 71, Ultimate Spinach, self-titled, The Out of Controls, I Need New Friends, The Lovers 2, Slip Into Something More Fantastical, Merv Gelter, Unlinked Passages and Patterns. My man trolled the list, and it's very funny. Some of these, Rough and Ready, We Rhyme Right, The Pete Smith Quintet, Dynamism. Ad Rock is having fun with the list. Dr. Funkadunk with Out of Bounds on the Dance Floor.
Did the Beastie Boys make the list?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been on there.
Beastie Boys are on there.
I remember Hello Nasty used to be on there.
I don't think Hello Nasty was ever on there.
It was never on there. It was on my personal list.
But obviously, the top one that's always at the top
Communication
is Paul's Boutique. Hey, lady! That's always the one that's at the top. And that's at a 125, going up about 30 places, so relatively the same position. And then at 192 is Licensed to Ill, which also has been on the other two iterations of the list. And then appearing for the first time is Check Your Head at 261.
Oh.
Frank Ocean makes the list for the first time. He's got Blonde, which...
Channel Orange.
And then Channel Orange, yeah.
Yeah.
Blonde comes in at 79. Channel Orange comes in at 148. We've also
Tay-Tay on the list, Kristen.
I know. Yeah. I hope Tay-Tay's on the list. She should be on the
couple
list.
Couple times?
Yeah.
Twice.
Okay.
Red.
I don't follow her very well. Yeah. Does 1989 on there?
In 1989. Red comes in. Let's say 1989 comes in at 393.
Red is too high.
Red comes in at 99 in the top 100.
Higher than Born in the USA by 200 albums.
Born in the USA is at what, 299?
It's in the 200 somewhere, yeah.
So Springsteen obviously is a mainstay of these lists, right? Born to Run, obviously the one at the top. And it's generally in the same place. It had been at 18, it's now at 21. Darkness on the Edge of Town comes in at 91, actually goes up a little bit on the list, had been at around 150. Born in the USA now is at 142, having dropped from 86. Nebraska is up a little bit from 226 to 150. We've got the, and this is, I know, Kristen, this will really hurt you, but an album I'm sure means a lot to you, The Wild, The Innocent, and The East Street Shuffle, has gone from 133 to 345. I know that hurts. Now, The Rising, which was not on the 2003 list.
9/11, the album.
9/11, the album. Yeah. Appeared on the 2012 list as though to say, we need this 9/11 album, has dropped off the list entirely.
Yeah, we've forgotten. We've forgotten.
We've decided it's okay. Tunnel of Love, which had been on both prior lists, is now off. Greetings from Asbury Park, which was only on the first list, was off for 2012, did not come back. The River, also on both previous lists, has not come back. So we have three Springsteen albums from the last list that did not return. Currently on the list, you know, he's got what? 5.
Yeah. But he had like 9.
Him or Kanye?
Ooh, it might be.
I think it's Kanye.
A tie. Actually, no, Kanye's got 6.
Yeah, Kanye's got 6.
Yeah. So Kanye has finally he's now the boss.
He's the boss now.
That's how it works. He's now the boss. I don't make the rules.
Joe, who do you think the biggest loser is?
Ooh, you know, Eric Clapton.
The American people? Okay.
No, I don't think the American people. I would say the American people.
No, I actually think that we have really gained from this.
They triumph.
And I'm really quite happy to hear that there are so many more non-white.
And you still don't know who number one is.
You will, and we'll get
no.
to that.
Yeah.
But if we talk about like Eric Clapton's presence on the first two lists, mm-hmm. you know, he was part of John Mayall in the Blues Breakers, which was at 195 in the first two lists.
What is that?
That's like an early British blues.
You know what? Fuck it. D'Angelo can have 2 albums on the thing.
Exactly, dude.
But it's gone. Blues Breakers is gone. Blues Breakers is no longer on the list. And then if we talk about
they broke the blues.
Now, what about the Blues Brothers soundtrack? Can you put soundtracks on here? Is the Pulp Fiction soundtrack on this?
The Saturday Night Fever soundtrack is on here. The Harder They Come soundtrack, which the Superfly soundtrack. There's soundtracks on here. There are 2 Cream albums that are gone. And then if we talk about Clapton's solo work, we've got 2 Clapton albums that are gone. So there's he had a presence on 5 albums that are now gone. Now Layla's still on there, mm-hmm. and 1 Cream album is still on there, but that's it. So I'd say with 5 albums no longer on the list, I'm gonna have to say Eric Clapton to me. And this is not a mathematical mm-hmm. Calculation, but just off the top of my head. Oh, plus there were 2 Yardbirds albums that are no longer on the list, and he was on one of those. So I guess that's 6 albums that he had like a significant presence on, gone.
I actually thought the Beatles were pretty big losers too, going over it.
Yeah, that's true. Let's review what happened to the Beatles.
I'm pretty sure every one of their albums went down.
Sgt. Pepper had been at the top of both previous lists. A lot of people would say almost like objectively the greatest album of all time, right? Number 1. It is now at number 24. And it has actually gone below other Beatles albums now.
So now other Beatles albums are higher. Let It Be higher?
No,
The Replacements' Let It Be is higher than the Beatles' Let It Be on this list.
Really?
And yeah.
I'm
true.
I'm not mad about that. I just like the Let It Be album. But yeah. Is Abbey Road?
Abbey Road is their highest now. But Let It Be is at 342, which is actually 50 points higher than it had been in 2012 when it dropped from 86 to 392. Time has not been good to that album. And the Replacements' Let It Be is at 156. Now,
is that a move?
Or no, they actually lost an album. Tim got kicked off, but Let It Be went up.
Yeah, yeah. Let It Be okay. did go up. So if we're reviewing our boys from Liverpool, Abbey Road is at the top. At number 5, it actually went up. It had been number 14. Revolver is at 11, dropped from 3. Again, Sgt. Pepper's dropped 24 from 1. The White Album dropped 29 from 10. Rubber Soul dropped to 35 from 5. And then after that, we've got Meet the Beatles, which went from 53 to 197. That's like an early one for them. A Hard Day's Night is at 263, went up from 307. Help is at 266, or actually went up from 331. And then Let It Be. With the Beatles, which was basically, it's the same version. It's the British version of Meet the Beatles. Had been on the 2003, left 2012, has not come back. Please Please Me, which was at 39 on the last 2 lists, and that's their debut album, is mm-hmm. no longer on the list.
How many albums do they have on there? Are they in the Kanye Club, or are they above the Kanye Club?
I mean, they still have the most. They have 9. So they have Abbey Road, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper, White Album, Rubber Soul, and that's all the way down to number 35. So they still have quite a presence, but they used to dominate the top 10, which is the big thing.
The top 10 used to be like 50% Beatles albums, and now it's 10%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we still haven't revealed the number one album.
Now, okay.
And,
now,
and you know what, Kristen? Why don't you hold those questions? We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we will reveal, even though everyone can literally look this up on the internet, we will reveal the number one album on Rolling Stone's 500 list. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We hope you had a nice break. We hope over your break, you know,
I hope that you blew your nose.
Yeah, you know, it gets congested up there. So sometimes take care of it, guys.
Take care of yourself. I hope you blew your nose if you needed to. And also, I hope you didn't need to blow your nose.
Beautiful. You know, we were talking about the Beatles, and I think another artist that you have to consider who really dominates these lists or is the like poster boy for what these lists used to be
Bob
about
Dillard.
Is Bob Dylan. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Bob Dillard. You
gotta get. So let's go through Dylan's ranking on this list. We have Blood on the Tracks, which was not, that's not typically his highest ranked because that's one of his albums from the 70s.
It's the best one though. IMO.
The YMHO?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that went from number 16 to number 9, so that broke the top 10. But falling out of the top 5, Highway 61 Revisited went to number 18. And then we've got Blonde on Blonde, also fell from the top 10 from number 9 to number 38. And then after that, Bring It All Back Home went from number 31 to 181. Free Will and Bob Dylan went from 97 to 255. The Basement Tapes, which is really him with the band, went from 292 to 335. John Wesley Harding, 303 to 337. Love and Theft went from 385 to 411. And then that's it for Bob Dylan.
Did any of them, did you say which ones dropped off? I really was checked out during that whole thing because I don't know much about Bob Dylan. I mean, I know a few songs. I know I like Tangled Up in Blue. I like Lay.
Tangled Up in Blue is on Blood on the Tracks. That's the one his highest ranked now.
That's like his poppy album.
And it kind of makes sense within this list that would be the top one. Modern Times, which is his album from 2006.
Yeah.
Which was added in for the, obviously the 2012, is not on there. Time Out of Mind.
The Soy Bomb.
Which album. Is the Soy Bomb album.
Yeah.
And if people don't know what we're talking about, it's his album from 97. He performed it at the Grammys. And then while he was performing, a guy, some random guy, took his shirt off and it's a Soy Bomb on his chest.
The greatest thing I've ever seen on TV.
One of the greatest things because nobody stops this dude for like maybe 30 seconds and he's dancing.
And
he's
Bob Dylan just stares at him thinking it's part of the show, sort of.
Or a little bit of a look like, could someone do something? But like not trying to give it away too much, but like trying to gesture a little bit, like someone take care of this guy. And he's just, Soy Bomb is the greatest. Anyway, Soy Bomb was not enough to keep Time Out of Mind in the top 500. Last it had been at 410, is now gone. And the album Desire, which is from 1976, previously at 174, now off the list. So we have three dropouts from Mr. Zimmerman.
Okay, so let me ask some questions about our new winner. Mm-hmm. Would you consider this a contemporary artist, or would you consider this one of the ones?
This is a very Rolling Stone era.
Very Rolling Stone pick, but it's not the Beatles and it's not Bob Dylan. So, it's a
surprising choice, I will say that.
And it's not the Bruce, it's not the Baus.
No.
Well, Joe, why don't you mention some other, who else jumped into the top 10?
Yeah, so obviously we talked about Lauryn Hill being at number 10. Yes. Blood on the Tracks from Bob Dylan is number 9. We've got a pretty significant jump. Prince's Purple Rain went from 76 to number 8.
That's great.
We've got Rumors from Fleetwood Mac now at number 7, previously had been at 26. Nevermind from Nirvana jumping from 17 to number 6. And then we've got Abbey Road from the Beatles at number 5. We've got jumping from number 57 to number 4 is Songs in the Key of Life from our guy Stevie Wonder. Great album.
I mean, absolute fantastic album.
Number
so
3.
So happy in the top 5.
Yeah, that I think well deserved. Number three, jumping from previously had been number 30, is the album Blue by Joni Mitchell.
Okay.
At number three, and then we've got Pet Sounds at number two.
Sticking at number two.
Mitchell is at number three.
Yeah.
And Joni's got some additional albums that had not been on there before. Court and Spark had been on there. It basically is at the same. It had been at 111, then 113, and now is at 110. Hijira had not been on there before and is now at 133. The Hissing of Summer Lawns is now at 258, had not been on there before. So Joni's showing up. Joni's definitely a big winner from this new list.
And she has more albums on there than Eric Clapton. That's a wild move. I mean, no shade, Joni, but like, I don't know. Number three is pretty high.
And I mean, we can get into this later, but I would say on the whole, women are a winner in terms of this list as well. Like the
I would say women finally, and people of color are winners on this list.
The only place in 2020 where women and people of color are the winners is the Rolling Stone Top 500 Albums list. And I, for one, am shook. Okay, now am I meant to take that as well as an indication of what the new reigning champion is?
The number one album is not from a woman. I will say that.
No. It feels very of the times we're living in that they would pick it now. It feels almost like a political choice.
You could say that. Okay. It obviously it has its
merits. I mean it's one of the 10 greatest albums of all time.
Is it Sam Cooke?
No.
No.
But you're close.
I think once you think of it you will know. Because it is like...
I don't know if I will.
It's like definitively classic album. Like it was number six on both prior lists.
Now I feel like I'm going to let everybody down.
Like it's always in the conversation.
I'm like, they've got me all shook because, you know, I'm like... usually just white guys.
It's if you it's can not, if you're reading it's Drake if you're reading this year too.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so it is by a this is by a black artist. Yes.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
By the way, if you're reading this is too late is on the list.
It's on the list.
At 367.
I hate it here. Okay.
I mean, and if we're tying it nice back to the Rock Hall, not a first year inductee, but a second year inductee, and I know that does not help you in the slightest. But just to make sure to keep my Rock Hall connection here.
Okay, so this is a black artist.
Correct.
From the I'm assuming the 60s or 70s.
Yes.
This is an album from the 60s or 70s. It's not a woman. Mm-hmm. It's not a band. I think it's a solo artist. Yeah.
Correct.
It's a solo artist. Yeah.
It's not like Curtis Mayfield.
It's one of the indisputably greatest artists of all time.
When we said Stevie Wonder already, it's...
It's not Stevie. This artist has sight. Just
well,
if that helps
not
you.
Now that he does it. Down
to give it away. Oh, I mean he's dead.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So no longer has sight.
He's
his
dead black artist.
His performance
tragically
career.
Deceased.
Yeah.
Oh God, I feel like I know everybody knows this except me.
Uh-huh.
I'm usually pretty good at guessing these things.
Tragically
I'm feeling pretty bad.
But had a long career. Probably, I would say definitely had more great work in him.
Yeah.
But had a longer long career. It wasn't like Sam Cooke who, you know.
Not a Sam Cooke type of. Oh God, can I have just like maybe one more hint? Like
the album's from 1971.
I'll give you another hint too. This artist famously wrote other songs as well that he did not perform.
Okay, my brain is not working. I can't think of anybody right now.
Came out of Motown.
I mean, it's not Michael Jackson.
No, it is not.
That would be like truly wild.
Died in 1984 at the age of 44.
In fact. Let's not even say died. Was murdered at the age of 44.
Was murdered. Was shot and killed. This album was absolutely the evolution of this artist who had been a Motown star and had done a lot of duets, but then really came into his artistic own with this political album for the times. And like,
I can't believe that I am not getting this.
It was like an album that talked about like like what's going on with the civil rights movement and like with.
And it maybe asks a question. Yeah.
Marvin Gaye. I mean, literally, I heard you say what's going on, and in my head, I kept thinking, what's going on? And I was thinking about, but I kept thinking about Move On Up.
Right. I mean,
I had to say it.
It felt like, but I didn't want to outright say it. But yeah, what's going on is the new.
My fault.
Number one.
That's a wild. I mean, I'm not mad at it, but it's a really important album, and it feels like that's a very.
It's a great album, but it feels like a political choice to put it number one.
That's a 2020 number one.
And you know, it's a.
And that's good. I'm pro that.
Yeah,
obviously. Yeah,
me too. And you can talk about this list potentially being kind of reactionary in general, because there are a lot of albums that came out, you know, within the past few years. Like if you want to review this,
like two Drake albums are on there.
So there are three albums from 2019.
What are the best albums that came out in 2019? I'm like, what is even a good album that came out in 2019? Right. I'm like, there is nothing good anymore. We don't have anything.
Here's one.
Even Black is King was not that good. Like
you will not even guess this one, which is Harry Styles' solo album Fine Line.
Mm-hmm. I definitely would not even guess that.
Now here are two albums that definitely made a dent: Billie Eilish, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go, and then Norman Fucking Rockwell from Lana Del Rey,
which everybody loved, and I didn't. Yeah. But that's okay.
People three albums from 2018. Which you are not going to get these. Bad Bunny's X 100 Pre.
That's a wild. Bad Bunny has an album. What number is that? 472?
447.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
She's back, baby.
And there, you know, what's good is there are, I believe Bad Bunny is Puerto Rican.
I think Puerto Rican, yeah.
Yeah. There are
definitely a Spanish speaking rapper.
There are a number of Spanish speaking artists on the list.
Yeah.
How many Pitbull albums are on here?
there's no Pitbull, but there is Daddy Yankee.
It is a Daddy Yankee, though.
That was going to be the next thing that I said. Yeah. I can't believe that like Bad Bunny is on there and Pitbull is not. Honestly, I'm not saying that I don't like Pitbull, but he's...
I mean, he's Mr. Like Worldwide.
Him. He's Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. 305.
He's got a lot of noms de plume.
Look, I have a theory about Pitbull, actually.
Oh, boy.
Is that he's 100 different guys?
No.
Which is my theory, that they just swap out bald men with sunglasses and shove them out.
Oh, so you think it's an Andrew W.K. situation?
Yeah.
Wait, did they do that with Andrew W.K.?
Oh, you got to look that up, Kristen. I can't explain that here. You got to look up the Andrew W.K. conspiracy theories.
Are they real, though, or is it just...
Maybe, like, to some small extent, but...
Yeah.
But it is a conspiracy
theory. He does not deny them.
Because he's a party guy. He's not going to rain on anybody's parade if they're having fun making conspiracies on the internet.
My Pitbull theory, he's music's Guy Fieri, where everyone's going to laugh at him, and then 10 years from now, we're going to be like, you know what? Pitbull's pretty cool. We like him now.
Yeah. I could see that happening. I wonder if we're already getting close to it. One of the albums from 2018 is a Spanish-speaking artist who I'd actually never heard of, Rosalia, and her album El Mal Querer. But I like to see that kind of representation. You know, Shakira has an album.
Selena.
Selena's got an album on here.
That rocks. Selena should definitely have an album on there.
Speaking of Selena, there are some like very poppy albums on here that I was not expecting. Like, let's say Come On Over from Shania Twain.
Yeah, but that's undisputably a top 500 album of all
time. Come on, that's a Mutt classic.
And when we were talking about the representation of women, Fiona Apple, I think, was a huge winner.
When the Pawn, baby.
Now, please tell me that can I please tell me that When the Pawn is in the top 100? It's not, but please tell me it is.
When the Pawn just missed out. It's at 108.
Okay, that's one of my absolute favorite albums in the whole world. Is that the highest ranking of her albums?
It is.
It is. Thank you, thank you. I'm like, they always want to put title. When the Pond is her best album. So what's on there? When the Pond, title.
Title's she, not on there.
Title's not on there. Extraordinary Machine is on there.
Extraordinary Machine, there? The yeah. Extraordinary Machine the is on there 444. And then the Idler Wheel is at 213.
Fetch the Bolt Cutters, no?
No Fetch the Bolt Cutters. Was that, that was this year though, right? That was 2020.
That was this year.
Erykah Badu has two albums on the list.
Baduism.
Baduism is very close to the top. It's at 89.
Okay.
And then Mama's Gun is at 158.
Mama's Gun or whatever.
Yeah.
She's good.
And we've, I mean, Aaliyah is in the list.
Aaliyah's in the mix. Okay. No R. Kelly though, right?
No R. Kelly. Britney is on the list.
My quest, okay, Britney, so what, Britney has got Hit Me Baby on there?
No, we've or got whatever. Her 2007 album, Blackout, at so 441, weird. Which is strange.
That's very weird. That's her only album on there?
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, I'm shocked that Britney Spears showed up on a Rolling Stone. Yeah. Like, that's insane.
What? Oh, they just used her sexuality to sell the cover. And then they gave her no respect.
Well,
and put her
Jim Morrison wasn't available to be on the cover that week. They had to sell a sexy cover.
I'm just saying, I think
and
of
Jim
that,
Morrison.
Like, iconic.
Speaking of Jim Morrison, let's talk about The Doors. Had three albums on the list last time. Now, their self-titled dropped from 42 to 86, still in the top 100. So there's still some love for The Doors. But Strange Days went from 409 to off the list. And then L.A. Woman went from 364 to off the list.
One more album to go, baby. Ten more years.
Where is Thriller?
Thriller, still pretty high.
Thriller should be higher.
Yeah, it jumped up from 20 to 12. And I think Off the Wall also jumped up from 68 to 36. Now, let's not just dwell on Michael, though. Let's talk about Janet.
Janet! Let's talk about her. Is the Velvet Rope on there?
Velvet Rope has been on every iteration of the list. It actually went down from 259 to 318, generally in the same spot. Rhythm Nation had also been on both iterations of the list.
I bet that jumped up sign of the times.
It went from 277 to 339. But
no.
Let's talk what album is missing, though.
Control.
Yeah, which had not been on, I think kind of strangely, had not been on either list, but debuts at 111.
That's great.
Yeah.
I am surprised about the move I would have thought Rhythm Nation just with kind of the way things are.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of making room for Control. It's like Control went up there and they just kind of like fell down accordingly.
Those are great albums. They should all be on there. I mean, her self-titled should be on there. Janet should be on there. That's like a fucking all-star album. That is like, Janet Jackson should have five albums on this list.
You could make that argument. You could make that argument.
Now, what about our
What
girl
about
Whitney?
Jackson Brown? Yes, Jackson Brown had three albums. For Every Man, Late for the Sky, Pretender had been on both iterations of the list. Now he's completely off. No more.
Get him out! Get him out!
Jackson Brown's done, baby. But yeah, let's talk about Whitney. Let's also talk just about the inductees for the Rock Hall Class of 2020, because they definitely are on this list. Now, Whitney's debut from 1985, the first list, she was 254, then it went to 257, now she's at 249. Whitney's holding strong right in the middle of this list. Now, we talked about Ready to Die, but Life After Death from Notorious B.I.G. is also on the list. Huge jump from 476 to 179. Depeche Mode, what do we think?
Oh, I don't know anything about their albums.
Violator is the one that is always, that's what has Personal Jesus. It has Enjoy the Silence on it.
I think it's still on there, and I think it's at 412.
It went from 342 to 167.
Whoa!
New Order added some albums too, baby.
I'm still in with the old.
Yeah.
Now, the Smiths, if we're talking about, we'll just quickly do a sidebar for the post-punk new wave. The Queen is Dead from the Smiths went from 218 to 113, made a jump, but at the expense of their self-titled and Meat is Murder and Louder Than Bombs, all dropping off the list, which is too bad.
Whoa.
I like the Smiths quite a bit.
If only
only Morrissey just.
Yeah, if only Morrissey wasn't Morrissey.
Yeah, yeah. A full-on white nationalist. Yeah. Joy Division's debut is coming in at 211. Had Unknown Pleasures is the name of that album, which is the iconic one with the waves. Not been on any, kind of strangely, had not been on any of the prior lists. And Closer, which had been, was at 157, kind of fell to 309. But now we got two Joy Divisions. And we've also got New Order, which Substance, their greatest hits, had been on the last two, but now they just decided to put their best album, Power, Corruption, and Lies, at 262. And then just to kind of complete the what I think is the big four of post-punk new wave, and my favorite, The Cure.
The Cure.
So Disintegration.
Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It obviously is the big one that people talk about. Went from 326 to 116. So big jump. And then their like American debut, Boys Don't Cry, which had been at the bottom, 438, is gone.
Aw, personal pain of mind.
I like to see Disintegration go to the top.
Yeah, it basically jumped as much as Arcade Fire fell down.
Big cue. So now are the 300s and 400s just populated by all of the old classic rock boomery stuff that used to populate the top 200?
I would say not exactly, but a little bit. Like if you're looking at, say, like Jefferson Airplane, right? Classic Rolling Stone list artist. Went from their album Surrealistic Pillow, went from 146 to 471.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You see a
471.
Decent,
wow, you can
see a
feel
decent
that.
Amount of those types of jumps, right?
Hear about just like right on the edge.
Yeah, you, Elvis Costello, My Aim Is True, like that's again another like Rolling Stone mainstay, went from 168 to 430.
430.
So there's a decent amount of those types of jumps.
I love that.
No, it's a great album. I mean,
430.
Again, it's almost 300 and something. I can't do that much math. Yeah. Worse than Take Care by Drake. It's correct. We all know.
We do know this.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for many years. There's a few more from the 2020 class that I do want to get to. So we've got T-Rex. Their big album, Electric Warrior, is always on the list, was 160 on both previous iterations. Now at 188, so a little bit of a drop. Nine Inch Nails, what do we think, guys?
I think they added an album, too.
Yeah. I bet they've done nothing but rise.
So Downward Spiral is always
on there, right?
Yeah, and it was.
But I bet they added, what's the Head Like a Hole one?
Pretty Hate Machine?
Yeah.
So Downward Spiral went from 201 to 122, and then we did add Pretty Hate Machine, which had not been on the list, at 453.
Huh.
And
good job, Joey.
Thank you.
What do you guys think about the Doobie Brothers?
Not on the fucking list.
What do I think about the Doobie Brothers? What is my personal opinion of the Doobie Brothers?
In reference to the list.
Well, here's the thing. I actually think the Doobie Brothers are kind of fun.
They are fun. I think that's we've come to appreciate them.
I really have come to appreciate them, but I don't know if they're going to be on this list.
They're not on this fucking list.
Yeah, Doobie Brothers are never going to be on an albums list. That's just never going to happen.
What is their big album? Doobin' in the Wind?
No, honestly, it's probably fucking Minute by Minute, which is, you know, their big one with Michael McDonald. Some other Rock Hall favorites, perennial nominees, inductees that we have talked about a lot on the show. We finally have an appearance on the list from Rufus featuring Chaka Khan.
See, tell me something good.
We've got we've got Ask Rufus, which crawled onto the list and made it just above Arcade Fire at
499.
Laura Nero made the list for the first time. Eli and the 13th Confession made it at 463. Nina Simone had not been on the list prior.
She had not. I bet she's in the top 200 now.
Wild as the Wind comes in at 212. Bill Withers had not been on the list before.
I bet he's also in the top 200.
Just As I Am, which was his debut, came in at 304. And then his follow-up, Still Bill, came in at 333.
Still Bill.
So now Bill's got two albums on the list, and we do love that guy.
Yeah, that's Jesus, what's replacing guy. Those Doors albums, baby. Get them off. One more. We just got to do it. Get them out of here.
It'll never happen, Joey.
I think it's going to happen.
You know this is still Rolling Stone magazine, yeah?
I do, but they're not good, and people know it now.
For the most part, the artists that made the list for the first time in 2020 are, like we said, women, people of color.
Children.
little kids. But
was that French kid? You like Jordy? Did Jordy make it?
Je t'aime, baby. But yeah, it's artists like, you know, from Destiny's Child to Donna Summer to Tupac to SZA, right? All artists who had not been on the list.
SZA's on there now.
But I do want to just make a note. There are some kind of crazy ones that showed up for the first time. Mm-hmm. Rush. Rush and Yes and Nilsson are ones that you wouldn't expect to show up.
Nilsson should have been on there the whole time.
He should have been on there before. but for him to make his debut now
in 2020
is a strange one, no doubt.
Yeah, Nilsson Schmilsson should have been on this list the whole time. That's very weird he never was.
That seems like the bread and butter of the Rolling Stone set.
Yeah.
It's strange that, but he's on it now.
I can't believe the Proggies weren't in there before.
Well, I mean, Rolling Stone like almost famously hates prog rock. Oh. So this is maybe even a little bit of course correction in that regard. And also like not really much heavy metal, like Motorhead is now on the list, but they had not been before. And
is AC/DC on there?
Yeah, I mean,
AC/DC and Metallica are on there.
Yeah, I mean, AC/DC Back in Black is always going to be on the list, although Highway to Hell fell off. That had been on the list before, is now no longer. And then yeah, there's some Metallica in here as well.
Any Judy Priest?
No Judy.
Is it some kind of monsters, their highest, the Metallica's highest ranking album.
Is that the one that had Fuel on it?
Yeah, it's worse than that. It's the one that they recorded for 10 years while filming that documentary with the psychiatrist.
Isn't Some Kind of Monster the documentary?
That's the documentary. What's the name of that album?
Saint Anger?
Yeah, Saint Anger! Yeah. Produced by Bob Rock and Dr. Phil Towell. Go ahead.
Do you mean Dr. Phil Towell is the name of a Tim and Eric character?
Dr. Phil Towell is the name of Metallica's.
That's not a real thing.
Dr. Phil Towell is the name of Metallica's psychiatrist. And you need to watch this movie, Kristen.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Yes, you mm-hmm. do. It is crazy and good. It's one of the greatest documentaries ever made.
It's them in therapy.
They go to therapy. It's funny.
It's really funny and it's funny. Really good.
And just for the record, Metallica, Master of Puppets, and Self-Titled have been on the previous iterations of the list. And you know what? This time, they went up the list from 167 to 97 for Master of Puppets and 255 to 235 for Self-Titled.
Kristen, there's a scene in that documentary where James Hetfield is crying because he said he felt bad that he missed the birth of his child because he was hunting bears in Siberia.
Okay, like at first I was like, you can't laugh at a man for crying because he missed the birth of his child, and then you ended the sentence with because
he was on a hunting vacation.
It is indeed very stupid.
I thought it was going to be that like he was on tour or something like that. You know, partying and, you know, he needs to change his ways, but instead he was fucking hunting bears inside. I don't need to see this album. I don't need to see it. Men.
Okay.
Men.
Hey, Kristen, we could talk about this list, obviously, for a long time, but I think we should wrap up. But do you have any lingering questions about this thing before we do? Things that I think would delight you. Alanis Morissette was on the original list at 327, was taken off for the 2012 list and came back at 69.
69, great. Jagged Little Pill at 69. That I like that. Yeah. I like that. That makes me happy. I like that.
Liz Phair has always been on the list, but around 328, 327. But then Exile in Guyville came back at 56.
56. They yeah. did. Where is where are the Rolling Stones albums?
Oh, that's another mainstay.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So Exile in Main Street is typically their highest ranking.
It went up.
It went from number 7 to 14. So
oh, okay.
More
oh,
or less.
Like, I was hoping it would be like Exile in Guyville, Exile on Main Street, like that they would be next to each other on the list.
Let It Bleed went from 32 to 41, basically the same spot. Same. Sticky Fingers went from 64 to 104. Beggar's Banquet went from 58 to 185. Aftermath went from 109 to 330. So they're like dropping places kind of throughout. They're trickling down the list. Some Girls went from 270 to 468.
But these are fair falls, I think, in that I think so. It's they're not keeping them in the yeah, but it's also keeping them in their rightful place, and they were just up too high before.
Yeah, no, I think
like those are great albums, all of them. But
and
yeah.
And like, we got rid of some of the like, so there are four Rolling Stones albums that are now off the list, and like a lot of them were those like early where they're doing blues covers albums that are just not the great Rolling Stones albums. And I think those.
What?
Are,
how many do they have on there?
So they have six.
Kanye Club.
It's and we're calling it the Kanye Club. Okay, so I think, again, we could talk about this forever, but I think that is a good review, and I'm glad that now, Kristen, you have a new list to guess, and we will, I guess we'll do both lists now that we are going forward. We have a new list to now think about it and consider. And it's.
I will also totally forget all of the things that you've said today.
Oh, I know.
You don't have to worry about me.
That's yeah. That was part of the plan the whole time. Joey, thank you for joining us for this special little episode.
Anytime, guys.
You've got a podcast, you've got Twitter. Go ahead, plug away, my friend.
Listen to Round Ball Rock, my NBA comedy podcast that is only sort of about the NBA. Like this week, Minnesota Timberwolves star Juancho Hernan Gomez missed training camp because he was filming an Adam Sandler movie. So we did an entire movie, like an entire episode, basically pitching plots for what that Adam Sandler movie was.
Beautiful.
Round Ball Rock. It's with me and Sean King. I'm at Joey Devine on Twitter. Yeah.
Great.
Love you guys.
Check that stuff out. You can, of course, follow us at Rock Hall Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us rockallpod@gmail.com. I'm sure a bunch of people are going to email us their thoughts on the list. And you know what? We didn't create it, but let us know what you think and how you're feeling. And, you know, we like to hear from you guys. We want Kristen to read that. You're going to have to designate that somewhere in the message. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us 5 stars only. Thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo. Thank you to Yusuf Kim for the music. And thank you to Pantheon Podcast for hosting us. I'm Joe Cazala.
I'm Kristen Studdard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshouses.com. glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.